There should be a sign there explaining how this permissive footpath has been granted through the trustees of St John and St Anne. We're going to walk along here for a while. Come on. You'll find the route ends up dipping down back to the bridge we were on earlier. That's where we're going to stop. The charity which owns this land was established to set up a hospital providing accommodation for 12 poor men. That was in 1399, so a good while ago now. They've been through some ups and downs since, having everything taken away when Thomas Cromwell was driving forward the Reformation, and then getting it all back when Robert Johnson, the Church of England cleric who founded the Oakham and Uppingham schools, obtained a royal charter from Queen Elizabeth I, and the hospital was reopened for both men and women. The charity now has over 100 properties, providing accommodation for Oakham people. So, it just shows you what can happen if you bed in for the long haul. Now stop for a moment, just here, wherever you are, and look down at what you are standing on.
Where do you think that came from? Do you think it was always like that? That God decided to put a ridge up here for you to wander along? Maybe the old fella had nothing to do with it at all. Maybe it came from down there to the left where the water is now. Maybe some poor sods were told to throw it here after digging it out of the ground. I'm surprised I've not really been mentioned yet, although those that do the dirty work are usually the ones that end up being invisible, aren't they? You can start walking again. I wouldn't want to think you were just gawping down at your feet as you realise what you're standing on. Crack on. Around 20 tons of earth a day I can get through. Imagine a trench 3 foot wide and 3 foot deep, and 36 foot off into the distance. All from the strength in my back and the strength in my arms and the use of my old Lord Lovell. 8 hours of digging a day. You know those who are new to the job because when their shift is over, they look at their hands and wonder if they'll ever be able to feel anything with them ever again, whilst I just thank the Lord that mine are like two lumps of leather. There are a lot of fenmen here. They know their stuff. It's in their blood, they'll tell you, moving rivers and building dikes to reclaim land from the sea. Slodgers, half of them. Amphibious beings who got their living by fishing and fowling until navvying came along. We've a number of Scots, some Irish too, who came over to help gather in the harvest and saw the opportunity to make a bit more money. There are those who've had enough of working in the mines and agricultural labours who can't find work at any given moment. And then people like me, who have worked on just about every canal that has ever been gouged into this country. Sometimes we have as many as 100 working here, and at other times there'll only be 30 or so. There are those who can tell a good yarn, those who play the fiddle, and those whose snoring tears through the whole little shanty town that we've been put up in. And none of us yet to dig up anything interesting, because it does happen. Old bones, skeletons of strange creatures, Roman coins and ancient treasure. I've never had much luck, teeth mainly. That's what they called me when I was digging on the Erewash Canal. Johnny the Teeth. There's only been a few accidents so far. Nothing too bad. No big collapses of stretches of the bank. No picks being burrowed into some poor sod's foot. No barrow cracking into the back of a knee, and no limbs being lost to gunpowder when the blasting has gone wrong. It's rather a gentle dig in many ways compared to some. No long tunnels lit by candles that struggle to shine through the clouds of dust that hang in the air from the endless explosions. Everyone dripping with sweat as we clear away the dangling rock with pickaxe and shovel. Most of those you meet seem happy that they're going to have a canal and treat us kindly enough, although, as always, there are those who keep their distance, expecting nothing but trouble from hard-working, hard-drinking navvies. But we're too tired to drink that much, and when you get back to your wooden hut and you wonder how your wife is, and if that babby you saw on your last trip home really was yours, all you want to do is sleep. All you want is a promise of fair weather the next day, of a light breeze, for the rain to hold off, and for the ground that sat there waiting for you to yield without too much of a struggle. Mind you, if there's a feast day on, and with so many villages round here there are a great many of those, then we all down tools and drink like fools. Much to the annoyance of Mr. Dunn, who would, if he could, shut down every village celebration of any stripe to keep us nailed to our task. Tomorrow we're puddling, lining the floor of the canal to keep the water in. A job that stinks more than any other. Chopping up the clay and mixing it with water until you've got this horrible thick stuff that you smack down with the punner. That great big rectangular block on a 5-foot handle. Or using your boots to tread it in tight. Sometimes, if you're lucky, you'll reach a stretch where there's an obliging farmer who will drive his cattle across, and you can sit back and watch as they do the work for you, their tails swishing this way and that to swat away the flies that are drawn to the heat and damp of the clay. Every now and again, I curse my job and I wish I was a bricklayer working through their endless pile of bricks, but I'm not. I'm just a navvy with a good pair of boots, a stout shovel, and a back that won't break however much I dig out of this earth and throw up here for you to walk on. Something I doubt I will ever do, because when this canal is dug, I will go and dig another. And unless my young daughter ends up marrying a Rutland lad, I will never come here again.
You should be close to the dam bridge, maybe even standing on it by now, which is where we'll go to the next track.